This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. California's recall election taking place today. And Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, facing tough questioning on Capitol Hill.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Well, it is election day in California, and in Washington, D.C., Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, facing really some tough questioning on the whole Afghanistan situation. We're going to have analysis on both of these critical issues. Let's first go to the California recall election. So, and by the way, those of you in California, give us a call at 800-684-3110. We sure love to hear from you and your thoughts on this. We're on a lot of stations out in California, really throughout the entire state. But what happens in California, so everybody understands, is if you get 50 plus one recall, Gavin Newsom's off the, he will not be recalled. He would not be the governor, and he's not a candidate. So then it is whoever gets the highest percentage becomes the governor. Now, Logan, you've been following this pretty carefully. I know Rick Grenell was on late last week. He's going to be on again today. What's the latest you're hearing from your friends out there?
There's a lot of good and maybe not so good things that are come out of this recall election. But the good part is, we can say, as Rick will, I'm sure, reiterate later in the show, is the good that comes from this is you had millions of people who have been activated, who have since never been activated in California, conservatives who never thought to vote, who thought that their vote election or their vote was wasted in these elections. So thankfully you have that. A lot of people motivated. The fact they even got to a recall vote is a win to begin with. It's pretty wild to even get to this point.
Yeah, you had to get, I think it was 1.4 million signatures on a petition. Then the process has to be verified. It was. Then what happens in California is they have the vote, which is obviously today. And like I said, the way it works in California, if 50% plus one person has a recall, Gavin Newsom is done. He's, in other words, he's not still on the ballot.
Yeah, it's the first question. Two questions. Do you recall Gavin Newsom? The answer is yes. If there's not, then it goes to the second question, which is who should replace him?
And in the second question on who should replace him, Gavin Newsom is not on the list of people to replace him.
Right.
Are there any Democrats on that list?
I think there are.
I think there are a few.
But I think obviously people are talking about Larry Elder. We talked about Caitlyn Jenner. There's a lot of names that have come up for this election. But and look, there's been some interesting things. And we've said this before. As California goes, so does the rest of the country a lot of times.
Mail-in ballots, like...
Not even mail-in ballots.
Print your own.
Print at home balloting. You go to a website, you print it out, you send it, you go, good to go. So obviously there's issues there. I don't even have to explain them to you what that can mean. I mean, we talked about this. A digital version where you would have to put in your social or something like that is more secure than this kind of version. No, I mean, so much mess can happen. My expectations aren't super high. I'd love to be pleasantly surprised.
Yes, but it's interesting that they've gone to, and I hope it doesn't, the rest of the nation doesn't do what California did, which is basically no security, no double checks. You print the ballot at home. Print five at home.
Right.
Give it to your closest five friends. Fill it out for them. And what do you do? Scan it back in? I guess you do.
You send it back in the mail.
That's the problem. There's no voter integrity assured in the process. And that's the thing that the Georgia law that was enacted that's being challenged by the Justice Department tried to do, is to ensure voter integrity. But who's to say you can't print out a half a dozen or a dozen ballots and simply send them in? I mean, that's the idea of one vote, one person, one vote just doesn't exist anymore. It is voter fraud.
So actually in second place right now, according to the polls, which is 27 points behind Larry Elder, is a YouTube star, Kevin Pafarth. Did I say that? I can't see. It's a really small print today. Who's a 29-year-old Democrat. So there is a Democrat up there who's actually doing pretty well.
27 points behind Larry Elder.
27 points behind Larry Elder, also 29 years old. Not likely. But, yeah, you know, there is some, at least you can say there's a lot of Democrats who are out there in California who also say,
we do want to hear from them.
Enough is enough.
I want to hear from Republicans and Democrats in California. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. Share the feed with your friends on all of our social media platforms. We encourage you to do that. And support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You can do that by going to aclj.org and sign up for our alerts and our emails and our newsletters. Very important for you to stay informed and engaged. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk about Afghanistan. We've got our whole panel with us today, full studio. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Support the work at aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Yes, everyone, taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We're talking about both California and the recall election today for governor. It's a big, big vote. And also, of course, Afghanistan. I want to stay on California for a moment here, and we'll get to Afghanistan as well. But I think this is a moment of history that is significant, Harry, in this sense. The fact that they got to this place in California, that they've actually got officially enough ballots to recall, number one, and number two, that it's actually a race on the electorate is pretty interesting.
I think you're right, and I think that's particularly true because it's California. So I think more and more Californians, as Logan accurately points out, are now willing to come out, if you will, of the shadows and to stake a claim to election integrity, and to change the trajectory of California. California has lost a significant number of people, particularly middle and upper middle class individuals who've been blown away by high taxes, rising crime, homelessness, which occupies many of their streets, and they're just fed up. But I think the quintessential issue is whether or not we can actually get an accurate vote going forward.
Wes, I'm sure you've got friends in California. I have friends in California. I've heard from Democrats that are, you know, really upset with the trajectory of the state right now.
Oh, yeah. That's why there's such an exodus, people going to Texas, Florida, Tennessee, other places. California's in a tough place. Gavin Newsom has not helped, because his response to the issues that Harry just mentioned has been so weak and anemic, and his duplicity during the whole COVID thing, being seen at the French Laundry without a mask and those kind. He closed schools in California, but meanwhile, his own children went to private schools. So he has actually exacerbated the problems that were there when he became governor. They're much worse now that he has served as governor, and it's a tough place to be, which is why people are leaving.
Than, is anyone in Washington, I mean, I know we've got the Afghan hearings going on with Secretary Blinken right now, but is anyone, what's the sense on this California? I'm going to take a call in a moment. We're going to cover Afghanistan too. What's the sense of things on regarding California?
Folks are definitely following it, Jay. They're following it for the reason that you just discussed with Logan. The fact that it's just even close enough in California that it's on people's radars radar is going to be significant for other races. I mean, I actually talked to a couple of friends in California today, and Jay, most of them thought that the governor was going to hang on, but every single one of them said, look, the idea that we're not sure is pretty staggering for this state. And I would just tell you, I think it's a good thing for California voters, much along the lines of what Logan said. They're tuned in, and Jay, the things like the tax burden and the restrictions on freedom, those things are making people stand up and take notice and participate in the process. I think that's universally a good thing.
Logan, let me ask you this question. You said the major networks are covering this like it's a national election.
I mean, I don't think Fox right now is advertising it, but I know that CNN, MSNBC are advertising it in the corner tonight, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, coverage of the Gavin Newsom recall vote. Which, you know, may lead you to believe which way that they think it may go, but it's pretty interesting that this will be a nationally covered event. But as Stan said, as you guys have talked about the exodus of California, I mean, I used to go to California pre-COVID every couple months. I was there two or three months, and now it seems like anyone I would go visit now lives completely in a different area, whether it's Texas or Tennessee. You know, people have left in droves, and I had people this weekend who said, depending on how this election goes, they're going to be trying to make their way out of the state. So it's happening. Like you said, for the tax burden or for other reasons, it's happening. And let's just, you want to go to the phones?
Yeah, let's take some calls.
We have a lot of you.
We're on a lot of stations in California.
Yeah, I mean, we said before, you know, California is our biggest area when it comes to support. The ACLJ, I think it's our number one market, actually, would be Southern California.
Which is unbelievable.
Which is wild to think about, but it's just so many, it's so many people.
No, it is.
I mean, it's an insane
We've got a lot
people.
Of support in California. We always have.
Yep.
Since the beginning.
Yeah, TV in country.
TV index,
yeah.
Right?
All right, let's go to Tom and call in California on line one. Tom.
Hey, Tom.
You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for all your work, guys. You guys are incredible. We appreciate everything you do, especially for California. We seem to be forgotten, especially in Northern California, where we're still on fire, almost a million acres on the
Yeah, I know.
Fire.
It's horrible.
Yeah, but anyway, as far as the recall goes with Gavin Newsom, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of vocal support, but there's also a lot of quiet hush-hush support to have him recalled, and not just have him recalled because of the fires we've got going, but like you talked about, the mismanagement with COVID, sending his kids to school, keeping my kid out of school, going to dinner when I couldn't go. But you also got to think about, everybody's talking about Larry Elder and Jenner, but there's a representative from the Sacramento area who actually sued Newsom and won for his COVID lockdowns. Kevin Kiley, he's a sleeper. Look out for him.
Yeah, and he also, you know, it was interesting. I've always wondered this politically, Tom, and that is, if there would have been a little bit less number of candidates on the Republican side, would have that forced a coalescing with a greater percentage? But it doesn't really matter, because it's whoever, what's so unique about California, Andy, is Newsom, once recalled, is off the ballot.
Right.
He may still get, he might have 48% of the vote, but, you know, but 52% said he should go, and then the winner may only have 27.
Right. It doesn't matter. Whoever gets the highest vote on that list of 27 or 30 people, whoever it is, that are seeking to replace him, whoever gets the highest vote becomes the governor of the state. And it's simply a matter of tallying up the votes. So Newsom, once recalled, if the vote says get rid of him, then whoever it is becomes the governor of California. Doesn't have to have a majority, just has a plurality of the vote.
No, this is what's so... What are your friends saying, who you're probably talking to as we speak, in California? I mean, because this is a very unique situation.
I think a lot of people are trying to get out. It's not that easy, though. It's not like real estate is doing okay in California. It's not like it was or like it is in a lot of places. So even just the process of moving is an issue. But a lot of people love California. I do, too. And you know, Rick Grinnell's going to be on the next segment. He has organization Fix California. Yeah. I think a lot of people have a lot of love for that state, and it's treated on, you know, it gets treated, you know, poorly because of the way not only we think about it, but because of situations like this. But they're making, you know, main stage tonight. We'll see how it goes. Either way, as I said, I think it's a move forward for the state.
Harry, let me ask you this question. If we know that there was enough votes to have the recall election, so that was significant. If, in fact, the upset happens and a Republican ends up becoming the governor of California, I mean, think about that for a moment. What is the message there?
Well, first, it would be a political earthquake.
Yeah.
Of massive proportions, and it would have huge implications in Washington, D.C., because that move would mean that California is no longer safe for all Democrats going forward. And it probably means just, if you focus on California alone, that the Republicans would likely take the House of Representatives in 2022. I know that's Than's area as opposed to mine, but I really think that would basically turn Washington potentially upside down, and there's no place on earth that needs being turned upside down as Washington, D.C., and California.
You're right. But you know, it's interesting, Than, and then we're going to take another call here, and that is what Harry's saying. If for some reason tonight, or in the morning, we wake up and find out that there's a Republican
or
governor.
A week.
Or a week, yes, yeah. Depending on how the mail-in ballots that you print from your home are sent in. But assuming all of that, and if there was, in fact, a Republican winning the governorship of California, what does that say to the House and Senate?
Oh, look, if this is the state of play in a statewide election in the state of California, think about, first of all, two things, Jay. Think about the purple states like New Hampshire or Nevada or Georgia or Arizona, all of which Democrats are defending in the next election. It means a Republican Senate. And then secondarily, Jay, think about the dozens and dozens and dozens of competitive House districts. Republicans only need to flip about three or four, depending on how the few vacancies get filled. Jay, if it's this close in California, if that political dynamic holds through the midterm, you're talking about a Republican Senate and a Republican House.
All right, we will take a quick call. Yeah. Let's go to Lisa, also in California. Lisa, you're on the air, line four. You're on.
Hello?
Yes, you're on. Sorry about that.
Oh, hi.
Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all that you do.
Sure.
I went to vote in person, and they said I'd have to use a touch screen, so I was forced to use my mail-in ballot there and drop it in the box. And I'm just wondering, who will be responsible to validate these votes?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, Secretary of State, right, Andy? I mean, Andy's represented Secretaries of State before.
That's eventually.
Eventually. It's the Department of Elections that's usually under the Secretary of State.
That's right. The Elections Division of the Office of Secretary of State in most jurisdictions handles elections and voting, and they would have to make the determination and the ultimate certification of whether Newsom is recalled and who the successor is, depending upon what those ballots say.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we only got a minute left. When we get back, Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us. I'm sure we'll be talking about California. We'll be talking about also Secretary Blinken right now being grilled by GOP senators. We got some bites from that. You also are going to talk about a new documentary series that we're going to be launching very soon. We even have some clips from that about Afghanistan. And we're going to have a whole bunch more coming up. We're going to keep the conversation going in California. Again, if you have a phone call, 1-800-684-3110. We'd love to hear from you if you're in California or if you have a question about this election, or we're going to again move into what's happening in Washington right now. So if you'd like to chime in on that, you can.
Yeah, and we also appreciate the support of the work of your support for the ACLJ. We in Afghanistan, you know, we've already got out that Freedom Information Act request. We're going to be in court. We know on that. That's going to be a have to. We'll take your calls when we come back at 800-684-3110, as Logan said, especially in California, 800-684-3110, ACLJ.org. To stay updated and engaged on all our social media platforms as well. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rinnell's going to be joining us here in just a second. Let's go ahead and take one quick phone call about the California recall. Let's go to Fernando in California, and then we'll get to Rick. Fernando, you're on the air.
Hey, Fernando.
Thank you guys for taking my call.
Sure.
And thank you for what you guys do. I had to do a mail-in vote as well, and I really questioned the integrity of our vote, you know?
Sure. Yeah, for sure, Fernando. A lot of people are asking that question about the integrity of the voting, what's going on in California. And I couldn't think of a better person to have on with us than Rick Rinnell, who's on right now.
Yeah, so I'll let Fernando finish his question, and then we'll let Rick respond. Go ahead, Fernando.
I believe a lot of conservatives, I speak for myself, that the integrity speaks of, you know, high values when it comes to our vote.
Yep. Well, Rick, so the first call off the block here is voter integrity. The fact is, number one, at least the recall has happened. So, I mean, it was certified that it was happening, the vote's happening today. How do you see things right now? I was watching you last night on our friend Sean Hannity's broadcast. I mean, where do you see things, Rick?
Look, I'm so thankful for the 2 million people that got together and signed the petition to put this to a recall vote. We've got Gavin on the run. He's spending millions of dollars to defend his poor record. Joe Biden has come in. We've had Kamala Harris come in. We've had Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders doing commercials. I think we've already won in the fact that we've been able to take this very serious issue to Gavin. He's got to defend his record. It's going to take us a while to win elections in California, but make no mistake, we are on the march, and conservatives are registering like never before. They're believing that there is more to be done, but it's always possible. I hope that we'll win, but if we don't, I feel pretty strongly that this movement is not going away, and it's going to be an incredible couple of years to really take back California.
You know, Rick, Logan said this at the beginning of the broadcast, and it's true, and it has been true since the founding of the ACLJ, actually predates the founding of the ACLJ, when before the ACLJ even came into existence. California, if you look at the whole state of California, is our largest support base in the United States. Southern California in particular, but we've got a lot of support in Northern California too, and have for, I'm talking about 35 or 40 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Still, if you look at our numbers, if you look at the people who watch and people are commenting, obviously we had a full bank of calls. We took, you know, 6 phone calls already, and that's a full bank for us of calls, all from California, because it's engaged. Obviously, we're on right now, and we're on live. We're on in morning drive for a lot of people. We've become people part of people's daily routine in Southern California. It's always been a big state for us. Like I said, we go there.
I love California.
It's great, but it's also, you know, you're probably recognized there more than anywhere. We go to dinner. Yeah. You have people coming up to you and talking to you. And that doesn't necessarily happen everywhere in the country.
No.
California has this large conservative base that I think people are, and Christian base, that people largely forget about.
So are they activate you, Rick? The key with voters, and you know this, I know this, we've both been doing this a long time, it's one thing to be a Christian conservative Republican, then getting them to the polls is a different, same thing for Democrats. You can be a liberal Democrat, a Christian Democrat, whatever you want to be, but it's getting people to the polls. Are people getting to the polls or mailing
in?
Yeah,
I think they are. Look, I have this organization called Fix California. You can go to fixcalifornia.com and sign up. What we have found are 1.3 million conservatives in California that were unregistered. Now, think about that. I think that it makes sense over the last several years.
1.3 million.
1.3 million that we've found so far, and we're going to find millions more because we're doing this work through Fix California. But my point is this. Conservatives in California have been beaten down. We've been told there's no chance that you can win on the presidential election nights. They call the race immediately when the polls close. But we are now sensing that we got to organize and start spending money and time in our own state. We can do to California what Stacey Abrams did to Georgia. Yes. It's going to take us a while. And this recall is super encouraging that we have a shot, that we've scared Gavin Newsom no matter what happens. 2 million people got together and put a recall vote to the vote of the people. I think that's a win in and of itself.
Yeah, it's interesting because Stacey Abrams, people will knock her. I will tell you something. You got to say an incredible political organizer. I mean, she's an incredible political organizer. Look what she did. Now, Harry Hutchison, you said if there is a Republican elected in the next 24, 48 hours, it's an earthquake.
I think that's right. And I think it would be a result of some of the efforts that Rick has engaged in. I think this particular election has given conservatives hope. But I also think, and I want to ask Rick this question, whether or not Democrats have become less enthusiastic, particularly about supporting someone like Gavin Newsom.
Harry, that's such a great question, and it really gets at the heart of what's happening. Remember, in California, we roughly have a third of the electorate are Democrats, a third are Republicans, and a third are what we call declined state, meaning I don't want to tell you if I'm conservative or liberal or whatever I am. That those numbers within the declined state group is huge. People are very disillusioned with the homelessness on the street, the Zoom school, and we still have emergency measures. Gavin still has emergency measures because of COVID, which is why you can print your ballot from home. And it's all mail-in ballots that are going out for this recall.
Yeah, which, Andy, very quickly, on election integrity, that's like a disaster waiting to happen.
Well, there is no integrity on a mail-in ballot. I mean, you can print up as many as you want at home and then send them in. Why can't I go out to California and just get on a plane here to go to LAX and vote? What is to say I can't do that? How do you measure the integrity of the ballot this way?
You're doing it under penalty of perjury.
Yeah, and Rick, how many people?
I'm so scared that I'm going to be prosecuted in California for perjury.
Rick, you brought up, though, last week that plenty of people were also receiving ballots, just like maybe last time, receiving ballots who maybe were never even residents of California, just people that were there for a couple months or had something to do with California years ago, decades ago.
Look, the residency requirements are being violated. California ballots are being found in Buffalo, in Pennsylvania, in North Carolina. We hear it every single day. People who haven't lived in California in years are getting ballots. The voter rolls are a mess. That's why I believe we have to go after the voter rolls, not just in California, but in every state. They need to be cleaned up. You need to be able to have faith in the system. And by the way, let's talk about one thing. It's clear now that voters should have IDs in order to vote. Yes. If you are not for someone having an ID to vote, then you're clearly trying to cheat.
All right, Rick, we appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll get your reactions tomorrow if we get the news. Who knows what the news will be, but thank you as always for the update. Appreciate it, Rick. Very quickly, West California, also big military presence.
It is. And they tend to be more conservative in their votes. I'm curious, Rick, the polls have turned in Newsom's favor. Do you trust the poll? He's gone. I just wonder, we got surprised last time.
Yeah.
The polls were so wrong in 2016. Yep. Can we trust the polls in California?
I mean, I don't think you can ever trust the polls in these situations. People are very quiet about that. You know, Rick brought up that there's a lot of irregularities that are going on, whether that's even things like if you get the mail-in ballot, we talked about this last week, that there are two holes in it, especially if you're blind so you know where to sign. Well, just how happens to line up and show exactly who you voted for and that you voted yes on the recall.
So they know before it even gets counted.
Before it even gets opened.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. But as Rick said, I think what's important is, look, people are being activated in California. More will happen. We'll see, though, tonight. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. Who knows? All right. We'll be back with the second half hour of Seculo. Join us if you don't get us live. We are right now on the ACLJ website, aclj.org. On all our social media platforms, search for Jay Seculo. You'll find us broadcasting live there right now, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
for decades now. The ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome everybody. We're talking about, of course, the California recall election this time. We're also talking about Afghanistan. Let's go right up to Than Bennett. The Afghanistan hearing is going on right now between Anthony Blinken and members of the United States Senate. I think, and we're going to talk more about this, what's your takeaway right now, Than, over the last 2 days?
Yeah, it's his second appearance, the Secretary's second appearance since yesterday. Yesterday, he was in front of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Today, in front of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. You know, Jay, honestly, my takeaway is that it has largely been a deflection campaign. I desperately hoped that that would not be the case. But there were sort of three main themes that I would say. Number one, the Secretary said that there was no way to predict that the fall would happen this quickly, when we know, because of that dissent cable and other things, that there was, in fact, warnings that the fall would be very quick. Second, Jay, he repeatedly yesterday and again this morning blamed Donald Trump. He had a line that a lot of people are running with that says he inherited a deadline and not a plan. But of course, what he failed to say, Jay, is that there's one president at a time. And President Biden was the only president that was in a position to execute this withdrawal that most of the American people did want. And then third, Jay, he kept falling back on this idea that a withdrawal was always going to be messy. Well, we knew it was always going to be messy, but it didn't have to involve 13 Americans dead, and it didn't have to involve leaving Americans behind. He repeatedly failed to address those points.
But this going to attack the former administration, to attack President Trump on this, is disingenuous. And here's why, Wes. They had 9 months as president to put a plan together, plus they had a transition time, which was another 3 months, and they knew Afghanistan was going to be front and center. So this blame shifting doesn't really work.
It does not. They're trying to defend the indefensible on this. And I was disappointed, you know, that yesterday I thought some of the Democrat congressmen might ask some probing questions and to really take it seriously. But right from the first question, they circled the wagons. It became a deflection campaign, as Than said, and defending, you know, Joe Biden and the administration. But here's the thing concerning that inheriting a deadline, not a plan. That really is categorically false. Not only did they have, you know, there's only one president at a time, and they've been president for several months, they had 10 months of how the Trump administration was handling the agreement with the Taliban. It's not very long, but they had a 6-page document from the Trump administration, the agreement that they had made with the Taliban. There was documentation there. There was a history there. It was not simply a decision without a plan. But here's the other thing. Blinken testified that they could not adjust the date because they were locked in with this plan they inherited from the Trump administration, and that changing that date would mean more troops had to be sent in and that the troops would be attacked. Well, here's the thing. They were not willing to negotiate a new plan, a new date with the Taliban. But now that we have no CIA there and no troops there, they are perfectly willing to negotiate with that same Taliban about human rights and about letting American citizens and our allies go free. So they couldn't negotiate then, but they're willing to negotiate now. That's pretty naive.
Yeah, Andy, they call Afghanistan, of course, historically, it's been called the graveyard of empires. And it's as if nobody is learning from this history.
Nobody reads history anymore. Nobody understands what the historical significance of withdrawals are, and specifically with Afghanistan. The Russians withdrew from Afghanistan. Am I right or wrong?
Yes.
They did it in an orderly fashion. They marched out. Someone said they were carrying bouquets of flowers. They took all their troops with. They took all their equipment with them. They had an orderly withdrawal. We, the United States of America, could not do the same thing when you had 10 months, 11 months in advance to plan to do it. Is that the state of your intelligence? Is that the state of your leadership in this country? Pretty dismal.
Yeah, it is. But, Logan, you've also have been doing some work on getting some really great information about this and the impact this all has.
That's right. Working on a brand new series that will be launching very soon, a streaming series. We'll have a lot more information on that maybe next week. But we're going to have some exclusive clips from it that we're going to show in the next segment, all about Afghanistan and the revenge of the Taliban. So we're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment. Again, a brand new series, potentially documentary film that will be coming out later in the year, but not that much later. We're going to have a lot of information coming up very soon. This is information you need. We're going to discuss it again when we get back.
By the way, also, our office in Kentucky has sent out a Freedom of Information demand to the Office of Personnel Management on why that Maryland is not allowing for an exchange on the health care that does not include abortion coverage, which is what they're supposed to have. So an interesting one there domestically. We'll have more on that later in the week. Call us if you have any questions, 800-684-3110, especially California on this vote.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We are going to play some clips from a brand new series that I've been working on. Originally, it started as a documentary film, and it may end up that way. But this content was so engaging and so interesting in regards to what's been happening in Afghanistan that I thought you all need to see the full-length interviews that we've done with people, people like Colonel Wes Smith, like Mike Pompeo, Rick Grinnell, Senator Langford I did yesterday. We have, you know, obviously my dad, my brother will be on. So many great guests, and one I want to start with, I want to show you a clip from just a short clip, few minutes of these extended interviews. Most of them were a half hour plus with some of these great guests. And again, just as a teaser, because we will have these available to you very soon and how you'll be able to get them. Again, our discussion was in real time. I want to capture people's real time views on how they were feeling about what was going on in Afghanistan. Let's start with Mike Waltz. Michael Waltz, he was the first Green Beret to serve in Congress, all right, serve in Congress, and a guy who also led the Bo Bergdahl mission, and definitely has a very distinct, very interesting point of view, and we had a great time talking and getting about it. So let's start with there. Start with a clip from this. Again, a new series coming out, The Revenge of the Taliban, that will be available very soon, so keep your eyes out.
You brought up that you were leading the team in the search for Bo Bergdahl, which I think a lot of people forget about a lot of these big moments that have happened over the last 20 years. But what you're saying is very clear, but that's a moment we all kind of looked back at, and you were there. What was that like as someone serving, knowing there were already these kind of massive, you don't want to say missteps, but misguided moments that were happening on the war on terror? We're not talking about just a month ago now or 2 weeks ago. You're talking about a decade plus ago at this point. What was that like as someone firsthand having to deal with that? I can't imagine.
Yeah, it was 2009, the day I took command of the border region, the special operations of the border region. Bergdahl deserted. So, not only have I been on the ground, but I've worked this from the White House. I was Vice President Cheney's counterterrorism advisor, worked it out in the Pentagon. And as a reservist, I was mobilized. I was literally leaving the White House and going out and thought, you know, I've got the strategy and now we're going to execute it. And that all got, I mean, the chessboard just got kicked over by one soldier because we devoted everything to find him because we knew he'd be such a propaganda victory for the other side. We also knew at the time that he had stacked up his gear, left his weapon behind, sent emails denouncing America to his father, and deserted, and some even would argue defected, and was actively working with the Taliban until they turned on him. So we knew all of that, but yet we stopped at everything. Why? To go get him. Why? Because we don't leave an American behind, even a deserter. And obviously we didn't get him, but to fast forward and then see him being celebrated as a hero in the Rose Garden, to see Susan Rice pounding the table that he served with honor and distinction, was just a slap in the face then. And to now see the Guantanamo, I mean, these were the Taliban's top draft picks that the Obama-Biden administration traded for him. To now see them in charge of what is going to be a terrorist megastate with Al-Qaeda that is going to come roaring back from people that we had in Guantanamo and they gave away, it's a slap in the face. It's a slap in the face to every veteran who suffered and gave blood and treasure to put people like that away.
So that's just a short clip of a very extensive interview with Congressman Walz, we get into, again, first Green Beret ever to serve, and a really interesting guy. It was a great conversation. We have that 7, 8, 10 times. We're still doing interviews every day, practically.
Release this as a series, and then ultimately a documentary at the end of the year.
Ultimately a documentary later in the year, just a shortened version. But honestly, as we started these interviews, and it started with Colonel Smith. I did it first interview and said, man, this can't just be cut down to 80 minutes, 90 minutes. People need to see all these firsthand accounts from different perspectives, wildly different perspectives.
Yeah.
So you can have these full half-hour style interviews. We're going to have pretty good discussion with, again, some pretty heavy hitters and some others that we're confirming or haven't done yet. I don't like saying if we haven't already captured it and recorded the interview. I don't like saying it just in case it doesn't happen. We got a great list of people, but already in the can, like I said, Walz, Pompeo, Senator Langford, Rick Grenell, Wes Smith, we have. I'm pretty sure you'll do it. I think you'll do it. I can say you haven't done it yet, but I think I think we'll get to you.
Yeah, we're gonna play another one in a moment. But I wanted to ask this to Andy from towards a historic perspective here because it was interesting. The risk factor for the United States in that pullout, we saw the worst of it, which was of course the loss of 13 soldiers.
Right.
There's still 100 Americans there. Hopefully, they're gonna get out. But, you know, and I was in favor of withdrawal, too. But now in retrospect, to have kept a counterintelligence capability in Afghanistan, in Bagram, was probably, we should have kept it.
Well, of course, because you have to do that in order to stay abreast of events. And that is something that was fundamental. If I was the commander-in-chief and I was relying upon my military, I would have asked for that kind of support from the military to keep a presence there, to give you intelligence with respect to what was going on. Fundamental.
But now, Wes, including us, I mean, we were all in a lot of people were in favor of getting out completely. In retrospect, it doesn't look so good.
Right.
But the counterintelligence capabilities have now been diminished significantly.
We are totally flying in the dark in Afghanistan. We don't have an embassy. We closed all of our CIA outposts, and we don't even have the 600 troops that were guarding the embassy. And traditionally, you can have some of those troops doing counterterrorism. Actually, they do counterterrorism. Right. But it's a dark situation. The thing I find so naive and alarming about what's going on, including these hearings, though, is that Secretary Blinken says they're going to use every tool at their disposal. Through our diplomacy, he says, through economic assistance, humanitarian assistance, to address the issue of making the Taliban respect human rights. He goes on to say that they are counting on the Taliban not to harbor terrorist groups or coordinate with terror groups.
They are a terrorist group.
That's what I was about to say, Jay. First of all, they are they are a terrorist group.
Yes.
Secondly, Al-Qaeda is there. Al-Zawahiri, who took over from bin Laden, lives in Afghanistan.
Yep.
ISIS is there.
Yep.
The Haqqani network is providing security for the Taliban. They are a terror group.
That's why listening to Antony Blinken on this is very, very difficult, because you know that it's just not the facts. Next segment, we're going to get back into the California thing a little bit, too. 1-800-684-3110. If you're in California on the recall, we want to talk to you about that. 800-684-3110. Logan, let's play another bite of what's...
Yeah, a lot of people have blamed the Trump administration for this and asked specifically Mike Pompeo.
There you go.
His response. Let's hear from Mike Pompeo.
Former
from
Secretary
new
of State.
Series.
You talked about working with everybody, including the Taliban. We're talking, obviously, a lot about them in this documentary. But specifically on your policy, you had President Biden, as you just said, trying to almost blame your policies and the Trump policies as a bad thing by saying that there was an agreement to not attack and kill any Americans with the Taliban that you had done. Why was that a bad thing? I mean, you look at it kind of on the grander scale. If we knew what was going to happen, and sadly, I mean, you're the only person I know probably who sat down and met with the Taliban. But when you look at it like that, and it's positioned this way to the American people, well, don't you think people are going to go, well, then clearly, when now there's multiple people dead, multiple servicemen, plus obviously hundreds of Afghan people, but you had that time of relative peace. Why do you think, and how can they even make that into an argument that this was a bad plan when, like you said, there was months and months and months without any bloodshed?
I don't understand. I can't make a case for them any better than they did. Their attempt at blame shifting has been pretty feeble, frankly, and frankly, a misfocus too. They should be focused on the things that matter while there's still a real challenge going on, instead of trying to rewrite history in the moment. I don't want to rewrite history. I just want people to reflect on the work that we did. We not only had a set of agreements with the Taliban and the Afghan government, but we had a deterrence model that was established. We had set out a set of red lines for the Taliban. We said, if you do X, Y, or Z, there'll be real costs to pay. In a couple of cases, they did, or they got close to doing that, and we did. We rained American power on them. The reason that we weren't attacked might well be the grace of God. But it is also most certainly the case that they feared that America was going to bring all of its wrath on them if they did. And I think once President Biden made the call and said, we're out, here's the date certain, force the military to close Bagram by not providing the resources to keep it open, I think those things signaled, combined with when they were pushed on, when the Taliban pushed against the Biden administration, they withdrew. And instead of what we did when they pushed on us, we just crushed them.
Yeah.
I think those were the things that sort of flipped the script and created the chaotic situation that we have today. That's why I'm convinced that the model that we had for 4 years was a sustainable model that was going to ultimately deliver the ultimate outcome that the president had told the American people he would have achieved. And we could have done so in a way that would have delivered a much better outcome for the United States of America.
By the way, you did a great job on this, Logan.
Thank you.
And the guests that we have, or not guests, or some of our colleagues, are tremendous. They have tremendous insight. There's the former director of
Secretary of State
and the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. You have Rick Grinnell on there as well, former director of National Intelligence. So this is a great project that Logan and the team are working on. We look forward to that. All right, last segment, we're going to go to back to California.
Yeah, back to California. We'll discuss this. If you want to get on the air, or if you have a question or comment on Afghanistan, give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Yeah, we'd love to shift back to California. When it comes to that piece, and a lot of people are asking, when are we going to be able to see this? Revenge of the Taliban is the new series. It will be available very soon. I believe next week we'll have more information on when it's coming. But it's coming within the month or so. You'll be able to stream and rent that as well. We'll be right back with more on Secular.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Everyone, last segment, we're going to talk California. If you have questions on Afghanistan, we'll do that too. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Especially if you're in California, we'd love to hear from you. Go ahead, Logan. Who do we have first?
Yeah, let's go to Jamie in California on line one. Jamie, thanks for calling.
Go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. So my question is this. Obviously, I'm in California, and we have something here called ballot trucks. I don't know if that's all across the country.
Nope.
But for the presidential election, I signed up for that. And when they received my ballot, I got notification that they had received my ballot. So I'm a Republican, and I sent my ballot in over a week ago. Now here we're at Election Day, and I haven't got notification I received my ballot. And I'm really concerned about voter fraud.
Yeah, sure.
We're hearing, you know, people are finding ballots in the trash and in trunks of cars. And so I guess basically my question is, what's our recall if we don't know that our ballot was received?
I think we figure out what the legal recall could be on that, because the situation at hand, I think a lot of people also have nerves in this, which is if they didn't get that receipt, which I know a lot of people, I have a lot of friends in California, a lot of them got their receipt. And then let's say she's like, okay, well then I'm going to go vote. But then it could get caught, and then all of a sudden you're committing voter fraud.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to do it. It is that. That's the problem with the mail-in system.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, if here Jamie sent in her ballot, she has not gotten a notification of receipt or processing. Therefore, if she were to show up and vote, and then they find it, are they going to say, she voted twice?
She voted twice. Yeah, I can see the conundrum that she's in, because she hasn't received notification that her ballot has been counted yet. She tries to do it again, and they come and slap her with some kind of voter fraud. This is the problem. This is the problem with these mail-in ballots. This is the problem with printing your ballots at home. What happened to the old-fashioned way of showing up on the election day and voting? What happened with the idea of an absentee ballot, which you sign and certify before a notary? What happened to voter integrity? Yeah. It's gone.
And absentee voting, as we know, historically, has never been usually enough of a number
to mean anything.
So sometimes
they don't even get requirements to be an absentee. I voted absentee
a couple times
in Washington a lot, but residing in Georgia. So, Fan, I know it's not front and center right now, the whole election integrity issue, but you know it's going to be front and center tonight in California.
Yeah, no question. And I would say a couple of things, Jay. First of all, if you're concerned about the elections in California, you ought to be concerned about H.R. 1 and S.R. 1, the For the People Act, which is essentially an effort to move what's happening in California and a lot of other states, quite frankly, to Washington, D.C., and let them establish those standards across the nation. That's number one. Number two, one thing I would add to the callers who have called worried about their vote counting. I certainly understand the fear, and I would encourage them to follow up on their ballots, take personal ownership. ownership of it. But Jay, I do think it's important to learn the lesson from Georgia too, where a lot of people were concerned that their vote wasn't going to count, and so they simply didn't vote. If that's the recourse that you take, Jay, it doesn't take fraud to invalidate your vote. So you got to go cast your ballot, and then you got to do everything you can to make sure that it's counted.
Wes? You know, it should be, and it's almost a cliche now, but it should be easy to vote and hard to cheat. And rules like they have in California, and as Stan said, like they want to bring to all of America in our national elections, makes it actually easy to cheat. Voter integrity is the paramount issue in elections. It's why we send observers to other countries when we suspect fraud and cheating. And yet these kinds of laws actually encourage fraud and cheating in America. It's unbelievable.
I think much like immigration policy, there may need to be reform in general.
Yes.
It's not like we're calling for, it has to go back to how it always was. It needs to only be paper. There are ways to digitally secure a lot of this, make it more simple. There are ways that this can happen that would be more secure. Even online,
yes,
more secure than you sending in a paper ballot you print out yourself. I mean, obviously, think about all the things you do. Apply for credit. You know, do all the different things you have to do online to certify you are who you are. All of the ridiculous questions you have to answer and all the things you do to certify. That is a much more secure process. It's harder to buy tickets to a concert on Ticketmaster. You got to click how many of these are bicycles in a button. That's harder than it is to print out one of these ballots and send it in.
It's true. But here's the situation. I mean, Georgia passed a bill, legislation, that closed some ridiculous loopholes. And that was you could have anybody could go pick up ballots for everybody and bring them in, ballot harvesting. And then you said, Andy, they had drop-off boxes that were like unmanned and just anywhere.
Yeah, they had them along Ponce de Leon Avenue in Atlanta, if you know where that is, where you used to buy a newspaper, you put a newspaper in, you put a quarter in, it was on the honor system.
Yeah.
Well, they had a box next to it that looked like a paper bag, and you just drop your ballot in there.
It was old Blockbuster return.
There was no one watching it. There was no one looking at it. It was just put, and this was an official ballot box, and whatever papers were put in there were counted. That is not voter integrity.
Harder to donate to Goodwill than it is. I mean,
it is.
Yes. It's true. I mean, this is the problem.
Sends you
so,
away.
They do. I've been turned down multiple times. Like, we're not taking this.
So California, the interesting thing here is that if California, Than, were to, if this were to, if the earthquake that, and earth, I hate using the word earthquake with California because they've had plenty of problems there, but if this political.
It's like Charlton Heston.
Yeah. I feel that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
If this political change happens in California, what's going to be the reaction of Joe Biden, who went out there and put his integrity and his political capital on the line here? I mean, it's going to be it's an uphill battle for a Republican to win. But what happens?
Well, it tells you something that the sitting president of the United States felt like he had the need to go to California in a statewide election, right? That's number one. Number two, Jay, I mean, it doesn't even take Governor Newsom being recalled for that earthquake that you're talking about to happen. I mean, if this is even anywhere close, quite frankly, in a statewide California election, I will tell you the first four states that are going to take notice: Nevada, New Hampshire, Arizona, and Georgia. Why do I list those four states? Those are four states that Democrats absolutely have to hang on to control the United States Senate. And Jay, if a statewide election in California is close, guess who's going to lose all four of those elections? It would be Senate Democrats.
So it's interesting here to me, and I don't know how this plays out, but you know, I guess as they're broadcasting this tonight, they're first going to be looking at question one.
Go to question two if question one? That's the question.
No, he's either in or out.
Are they going to be reporting on who has the most at the same time? Is that?
I don't think so. I don't even think they answer that. I think they have to report on would there be a recall. I don't know if it gets counted who would theoretically win or report it. I don't know if it gets reported. We'll see.
That'll be interesting because I wonder, are they going to be able to look, I guess, by location in California, who's voting what? To see if there's a vote for recall. What was the latest numbers with 53-47?
That's right. Yeah.
That is, I mean, that's got to be close to the margin of error.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, so I mean, if it comes, now the question is who's motivated to vote here, and that'll be a fascinating aspect of it, but conservatives seem to be pretty motivated.
I think they're motivated. There's a lot of people, but as you said, they've kind of brought out everybody, whether it's Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or big name celebrities have come out to do this, and if they're doing that, they're scared. But that doesn't mean necessarily that those efforts don't work. A lot of times they do. They wouldn't do it if they didn't. So having someone like President Biden out there, I'm sure, now activates a group of people who may not even be that aware of voting in this entire recall election, may be confused. A lot of people get confused and they don't do it. We'll see you tonight. Coverage begins at 10 p.m. Eastern, I think. So, yeah, if you want to stay up late.
9 p.m. Central.
9 p.m. Central, yeah. Yeah, it's not that bad. But likely this won't be something that you'll have an answer for tonight.
But it's going to be, it'll be fascinating to see. I bet the recall numbers come back in pretty quick, whether you get to the recall. See that?
Unless, could you mail in today?
I mean, that's guess you can.
Yeah, so that's the question. Until 8 p.m. Yeah, tonight. So,
yeah.
It's a mess. It's going to be a mess. We'll see.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. More tomorrow, we see if we have any California reports, Afghanistan. We're going to talk about a pro-life case we've got. But obviously, all this work that we're doing on election integrity or overseas, internationally, at the UN, wherever it might be, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. And I want to encourage you to go to aclj.org and support the work of the ACLJ. But also, follow us on all of our – there's so many social media platforms right now. I just want to encourage you to follow us on these media platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. Follow, share right now if you're on Facebook. Thumbs up, subscribe if you're on YouTube. And obviously, tell all your friends about this show. See you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.